From Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, in the spacious iHeart studios and syndicated across the country on the Truth Network and around the world on iHeart.com, this is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And we're glad you're with us. Telephone number for the show is 800-688-9522, and you can follow along at hopeforthecaregiver.com or on Facebook, Hope for the Caregiver. And we're glad you're with us. And by the way, when you do check in with us, you will hear the lovely and talented, always capricious, himself, the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of the Sound, the Earl of Engineering. He is the man who is the original elf on a shelf. He's John Butler, everyone, the Count of Mighty Disco.
Oh, thank you so much, Peter. Why'd you have to bring up the elf on a shelf, man? Come on, that's a low blow, even for you.
You have that look.
You've
been told that before.
I'm built a little bit like the elf on a shelf. I cannot deny that.
Except that's the really tall version.
Yeah.
Well, listen, John.
Elf on the top shelf.
John, we have a special guest here in the studio.
We do. I noticed some new faces floating around.
And we're thrilled to have these faces. Do you know where the Kingdom of Tonga is?
South Pacific?
Very good, John.
Hey, right on.
Anything more specific on the South Pacific?
I don't have hours, minutes, and seconds ready for that. I'm sorry.
I must confess to you that I did not know where the Kingdom of Tonga was of any specificity.
Oh, look at you with the $7 words. Right on, buddy.
Until my friend Lynn Vanderwood told me.
Okay.
And then she went over there on a mission trip.
Okay.
And then she fell in love with this wonderful man over there and married him. And together they are here with their son, Funyani. So Lynn, Ali, and Funyani Aho are all here in the studio from the Kingdom of Tonga. And we're going to talk about today how Hope for the Caregiver is having a role in the Kingdom of Tonga.
Really?
No, kid. Would I kid you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, often. Well, so here we are. And so, Lynn, I thought we'll just start with you guys and just welcome to the show. And this is exciting for you to be here.
Thanks, Peter. It's exciting for us, too. We have a little radio station, but it's minute compared to the spacious, lovely, decorated place you've got here.
Well, it is cavernous.
Yes.
And, you know, we're thrilled. You know, you and I have been friends for a long time, and your father and I were just best buds. We recently lost him.
Yeah.
And but you were not a caregiver for your dad per se. I mean, he was a Marine. You're never a former Marine. You're always a
always
Marine.
A Marine. And, always Semper Fi.
He was playing golf earlier this year regularly, and all of a sudden he went in for a procedure, and some things just kind of went kaplooey, and God took him home. But the journey of caregiving in your family, though, has been significant because your dad has been taking care of your mother.
That's right.
Who is dealing with some very difficult mobility challenges.
Yep.
And, you know, and it was just such a heartbreaking blow with this to go with your father. But you and I have been talking about caregiving issues for a long, long time.
That's right.
And you've been getting my email missives.
And I love getting those missives.
And my
part
book.
Part of my week. Yep.
And your dad's been sending stuff
the
over.
Audiobook, too.
And so we wanted to talk a little bit about why this was happening in Tonga. And then we're going to get into your folks here in a little bit and bring everyone. But I tell you, for me, as your dad was in intensive care, I was over at the hospital with him. And I Skyped you in Tonga.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you were... And the technology, of course, today just still befuddles
Unbelievable.
Me because you're having a conversation with the physician assistant. Yeah, physician assistant. And you are a physician.
And I'm a physician assistant, too. Yeah.
And so you guys were talking. I thought at first they were talking in Tongan. And,
medical language.
Medicalese and Tongan
it's
sound very similar.
It's a whole other ballgame, yeah.
Both alien to me. No, it was deeply meaningful. And then I have this... forever in my heart, this picture of your face on my phone, and I'm holding it right next to your dad's face in intensive care, and you're just talking with him and praying for him. And it was such a beautiful moment, and I appreciate that you've let me share this with your family.
Thank you.
And now you're bringing this incredible family of yours into the studio. And
they're pretty special.
They are. Ollie?
Good to be here, Peter, in Music City here in Nashville. So thank you, and we are happy to be here.
Well, it is a treat to have you here. Now, this is not your first trip, of course, to Nashville. You've been here many times.
Yes, right.
And but it doesn't get old, does it?
Oh, no.
It's always nice to eat steak, real steak.
It's cold here.
But it is cold here. A lot colder than the kingdom of Tonga, I will tell you that. What kind of steak do you have in Tonga?
We have, old steak. And older steak and still on the cow steak, but we don't eat steak very often. So that's one joke. We like to barbecue steaks with my dad when we come here. So.
But do they have cattle in Tonga? That it is?
We have cattle, but not many.
You wouldn't recognize them as such. They look like they're anemic.
Anemic.
They're cow. All grass-fed, but there isn't much grass, so that's why.
We only butcher them when there is a funeral or a wedding. So that's the time that we...
Slim pickings there.
So if you could have some weddings during some funerals, then chances are you could just save a few. No.
Yes. We eat lots of fish, as you can imagine, surrounded by the great big fish bowl that we are.
Well, and there are 169 islands in the Kingdom of Tonga. Is that right?
Or 173 if you count the ones where there's only a couple goats and one little old man that lives there. So.
And we're not talking a vastly populated place, but it's spread out over
place. In fact, we call it the liquid continent sometimes.
It's a group of islands.
And the main island where the capital is that where you all live?
That's where we live. And it's about 25 miles long. And at the widest point, it's 5 miles wide. So it's not very big.
What kind of planes land on this?
Well, actually, they land a 777, but only if they have a pilot who can make a really fast stop on a very short runway.
Shout out to that pilot.
I'm telling you, props. He's amazing.
Props to that dude.
Stop it with the puns there, Peter. They use jet engines now. You know that. Props.
But on the outer islands, we've taken the 3-day boat ride to the farthest most island of Tonga. And that's actually where I met some caregivers that really impacted my life. But we've also flown there. And there's a grass airstrip. And the plane flies there once every 3 weeks. So the other 2 weeks and 6 days of the month, the horses are out on the airstrip.
Well, I was coming back from Delaware, and I was flying with a buddy of mine who has a small plane. And we landed someplace in West Virginia. and to fuel up. And I asked the guy, I said, how do you guys keep deer off of the runway? And he said, how did you solve that problem? He said, with a 30-06. And I thought, well, okay, I guess that works. So I don't know if that's something that goes on in Tonga. But now, are you all, where do you get a lot of your equipment from? I mean, as far as supplies and so forth.
Mm. Yeah, it's closer to New Zealand and Australia. So ships bring things from Australia and New Zealand. I get a lot of my medical supplies from New Zealand, from a ministry that sends free medical supplies to me. But we also get food and supplies from America, but not often.
I mean, is fairly self-sufficient going on in Tonga? I mean,
well,
as
right.
far it's as your just, agriculture and your...
It is. We're a subsistence nation. And so if you don't grow it, you don't eat it. If you don't raise it, you don't eat it. So most of what we have or eat or use, we create ourselves. Now, in the last 10 years, some Chinese have come and opened up little shops, and they bring containers of Chinese goods to our place. But in general, most Tongans live on what they can make or grow or raise.
Now, what is the closest city in New Zealand?
Auckland,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is very exciting having you here. and you have been, you and I have had numerous emails back and forth and a few Skype calls because the internet service there is a little bit
shaky,
sketchy at best. and it's very expensive.
It's really expensive. We pay per megabyte. So I downloaded, for example, an 8-minute video, and it took me overnight to download it.
John, I don't know that that would be a place where you would flourish.
I grew up with that, Peter. I've been here for the entirety of the internet.
Well,
so.
But I don't think you could go back.
This is correct. Yeah, yeah,
once, you, once you've stepped into this world, you can't go back, this John.
I understand that connectivity is a major thing out there. And that's hopefully, you know, there's some interesting things coming around that'll change that. But that's a big deal, yeah.
Well, we
do have the coconut wireless, and that's how we pretty much communicate in Tonga. You tell somebody something that you want everybody to know, and you pick the person who's the busybody in the neighborhood, and then everybody knows within half an hour.
I think I've worked with that person before.
So there's three mass communication devices: telephone, telegraph, teletongan. Is that what you're saying?
Teletongan, that's right.
So
how long were you working on that one?
I just came up right now. It just flew out of my mouth, and I was, you know, I do the best I can with what I got, John. And look, you and I've had lots of conversations because as your dad was caring for your mother, you saw a great need to minister to him and to help equip him in this journey. But then you started seeing this apply where you were on the mission field.
That's right.
And we're going to spend some time on the show today talking about that. We're going to go to a break here in just a minute. But this has been for me, very deeply rewarding. That we would have this kind of connection all the way across the world. And I remember when I wrote my book, Hope for the Caregiver, which you can get in bookstores all across the country. John makes me do that.
Because it's your job.
But when I wrote this book, my father told me, he said, once you put it out there, you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
You never know. And I had never dreamed Tonga. And then somebody came up to me at church, and there's a Bible study that meets in Mexico that also is going through my book.
Wow, that's awesome.
A whole group of them come to meet and go through it. And we really need to get it probably translated into Spanish. I don't know about getting it translated for Tonga. That's a little bit of a challenge, I would think.
It wouldn't be a big audience, actually.
Now, English is the predominant language, or?
Well, in my husband's generation, so those people who are 45 and younger, they're learning English earlier in life and using it a little bit more. But the older generation, the ones who are caring for their 80 and 90-year-old relatives, they're not so fluent in English.
Well, and that could be a very big problem. Fungani, what about you? How's your English? Is your English good? Okay.
Yes.
Now, do you speak how many languages? Just two or more?
Yes, I speak two languages.
Well, that's awesome. I'm doing good with just one. And we got to take.
Don't be too generous. Don't.
We got to take a break. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. And we're going to talk about how this program, Hope for the Caregiver, the book, the message, the passion of what we're doing on this program is going across the world. We'll be right back.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on two artificial legs, and I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs, and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison. To reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I'm so glad you're with us. Merry Christmas. And if you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, hopeforthecaregiver.com, and on Facebook, Hope for the Caregiver, and on Twitter, Hope for Caregiver, the number four, Hope for Caregiver. And we're glad you're following along with us on this special show where I have some dear friends of mine in the studio, Lynn and Ali Aho from the Kingdom of Tonga, and their son Fungani. And am I saying that right, Lynn? Am I doing okay with that? I mean, I'm having a hard time getting that right. Just
we'll
the nuance.
We'll have to have some diction lessons. Fungani. Fungani.
Fungani.
Almost.
If you could, I think there's a G in there you're missing.
Funga. NG, like the word sing.
Fungani.
Oh. NG is one letter in the Tongan language, so it has a nga sound.
Okay, well, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that a lot. But we're glad you're with us. And Lynn and I have been friends for a very long time. And when she went onto the mission field, we had no idea that the efforts that we're doing with caregivers would stretch all the way into the Kingdom of Tonga. And their government had a initiative to reach out to the caregivers, people taking care of the elderly. They're very respectful of their elderly population.
That's right.
Ali. And now, are your parents still alive, Ali?
Yes, they're both alive, yeah.
Well, they're very respectful, but something happened. There was a disconnect.
Mm.
What happened?
Yeah. I think what's happened in the current generation is people have seen other countries have other people start caring for their elderly and their disabled. And Tongans have always been very naturally compassionate, always had three-generation households. And if you had a child with Down syndrome or a child with physical disabilities like cerebral palsy, you always had them at home. One of our past queens, our queen mother, actually had a special heart for children with disabilities and started a special school. And Tongans were very eager to care for their people. But then the government started thinking they needed to put money into this program rather than heart. So two other larger nations gave money to Tonga for caring for the disabled and elderly, and they began giving cash to these families, thinking that that would improve the quality of life. Well, we all know throwing money at a problem doesn't really solve it, and it didn't in Tonga.
Well, some of us know that. I think there's some people inside the Beltway that haven't figured that out yet, but continue.
So as they threw money at these issues, they thought they could buy some implements or some better food or some more sheets for the beds, and then went back and evaluated and saw that the quality of life for the person, the elderly or the disabled, and for the family member who was their caregiver was not improving at all. So the Ministry of Internal Affairs CEO, who happens to be a Christian, said, in my faith, there's some things that some principles I want to implement. One of those is we care for our own as a way of loving Jesus, as a way of showing his love to people. So she decided to have a workshop for caregivers to teach them some practical skills like nutrition and skincare. But she said also to me, can you teach them more about the heart of doing this? And in that, how to take care of themselves so they don't burn out, so they're not getting tired and grumpy and irritable. So I was so thrilled to be part of this workshop. And I've actually been touched by a number of caregivers in Tonga. One of my first visits there before I moved there, we visited an older lady named Malia who lived in her sister's home. And her sister had made a separate shower facility for her. And her sister was doing the best she could to learn how to keep Malia clean and fed. She had almost no teeth and she wasn't very conversant. But the love in that household, Peter, was absolutely amazing. And one of the nuns would go and help bathe her and put nail polish on. Malia didn't need to wear nail polish, but it made her feel good. And when the nun went and did the care, then the caregiver, the sister, could have a break. And I saw that this sister was always happy, healthy, interested. And I asked her, what are some keys to being able to do this? Because I would burn out doing this for Malia every day. And she said two things. Number one, I treat Malia as though she's Jesus. Because in Matthew 25, Jesus says, you came to me and you took care of me when I was sick, in prison, hungry, naked. And they said, when do we do this? he said, when you took care of the least of these. And she understood that she was ministering directly to Jesus by ministering to Malia. So that was number one, the heart piece. The second was, she was so happy that twice a week, the nuns came and gave her relief. That was caring for herself, a caregiver, by having a break.
Imagine that, a caregiver getting a break. They figured that out.
They figured it out.
I love this, and I love the heart of what this is all about. And then this got real personal for you. You and I have had these conversations, so we're going to share that with folks here in just a moment. We've got to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver, brought to you by Standing with Hope. You can see more at standingwithhope.com. We do two programs, prosthetic limbs for amputees in West Africa and caregivers. We're caring for the wounded and those who care for them, and you can help do it. Standingwithhope.com. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Foxworthy. 65 million Americans serve as a caregiver for a sick or disabled loved one. If you're one of them, then listen to my friend Peter Rosenberger's show. He's got redneck tendencies, but he's really good at what he does.
And here we are as in olden days, mystic olden days.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Why are we doing this? Because 65 million Americans are doing this right now. And it's a tough time, particularly during the holidays. And we want to make sure you know, as a caregiver, that you're not alone, number one. And number two, that there are practical resources to help you stay strong, to be able to stay calm in this, and even be joyful. And that's where we're going to also bring resources to your heart. And we're talking today with a longtime friend of mine, Lynn Vanderwood Aho. And she is a missionary to Tonga. And her husband, Ali, is here with us, and their son, Funyani. Did I say that right? Was that better, Lynn?
That was better.
Okay, I'm getting there. John, you know, the Kingdom of Tonga.
Absolutely.
This show has quite a reach now.
I was going to say that is an interesting connection. I wouldn't have called that.
Well, I wouldn't have either, but Lynn did, and she was there. So you started getting emails. Your father was taking care of your mother.
Yep.
And she's got some significant mobility issues and
That's
so forth.
Right.
And you saw that your father was in desperate need himself of having some kind of something.
Right. And I saw that for sure.
And you and he started corresponding, and he started forwarding on stuff that he was reading from me. And then you started applying it there in Tonga. And in some respects, almost like the Tongan people became surrogates for you taking care of your dad and your mom. And so you use these things. So you went to the Tongan government. They had been throwing money at a problem with no results.
That's right.
In fact, actually bad results, because now they're out of money. So they've wasted this money that has done nothing.
Right.
And so you gave them some insights on how to care for caregivers there. Mm-hmm. And because they are incredibly respectful as a familial unit. You said there's a three-generation household. So what happened?
So we had several workshops, and the caregivers themselves, first of all, needed some skills. They needed to know how to lift properly. They needed to know how to bathe people. They needed some nutritional advice, but they also needed to know how to care for themselves. And a lot of them needed the permission to know that they could, because they thought they would be guilty if they took some time off by themselves. Even there was an aged care course that was being run privately by a training institution, and a lovely lady named Betty Blake has about 30 women who are caregivers for elderly, or helping family members be caregivers for their elderly family member. And these gals were learning lots of skills, but they were also burning out. So I realized in what Dad was reading, there's some really great points here. Peter, there's some great points all of us.
Everybody says that so surprised when they read my stuff, John. I mean, it's like, oh, Peter, by the way, there's some really good stuff in your book.
And it came
from you.
We
had no idea.
So I watched my dad implement these things, and I began thinking through the Tongan lifestyle and also looking at my husband's parents. My husband's parents are 77. His mom is blinded from glaucoma. His dad had worked in the farms all of his life and suddenly had to come back home, do the cooking, do the washing, do all the shopping. And I watched what my dad was doing to stay healthy. And I watched Ali's dad get a bit frustrated, a bit tired, a bit cranky, and started thinking, how can I apply these principles of rest and self-care and joy and laughter and sharing the load? How could I share this with people from a Tongan perspective so they would receive it and not feel guilty taking care of themselves? So,
did it work with Ali's dad?
Yeah, he didn't go to the workshop, but there was a TV program that Lynn was talking on.
So
a TV program.
So you're a TV star in Tonga.
And, yes.
was watching that program, yeah. And was, yeah, he said he learned a lot from that program that, and they replayed a few times.
Now, is your dad a good cook?
Yes, he's.
Well, they eat what he cooks, but I don't
they,
know.
They eat what
but
he cooks.
No one in Tonga ever complains about food. They just eat what's in front of them. It's a wonderful skill.
We cook on the ground. You know? We dig the ground, and also we.
Well, it saves a lot of cleanup time.
Sure does. Just throw your plates away because they're banana leaves anyway. But I saw Ali's dad start doing some wise things, start sharing the load. For example, another woman would come in and do their laundry, and he would have a break. But they also live in close proximity. I mean, he can walk 2 minutes across the street and be at his brother's house and have a break, even 20 minutes, just go and talk to his brother and leave his wife home alone, but she could hear him out the window. But he was taking a break, which was essential. He was doing it a couple of times a day. He was sharing the load. He was also leaning on his church for support. And he was calling out and asking for people like the minister to come and visit, for example, on Sunday if she can't get to church. So he was doing some of the things that you recommend in a Tongan context. So I started watching him and making some suggestions to the gals I was teaching in this aged care course, because I started with them. And they were really, really identifying with it. And then they'd say, hey, I did this. I took 1 minute out of every hour and I just laughed with the person I'm taking care of. Because humor, you know, laughter's good like medicine.
Does my humor translate into Tongan? I mean, that's the question we all want to. We're all sitting here at the edge of our seats. Does my humor translate?
When you laugh, they laugh with you. They have no idea what you've been saying, but they laugh.
I think that's
you.
Laughing at me.
Yeah, could be. So they would do that. And then they would take what I said and once a day, make sure you go outside. Because we have a beautiful place we live, and they'd be inside caring for this.
You live in the South Pacific. Yes, it is a beautiful place.
It's gorgeous. So, but you get caught inside as a caregiver. I've got to do this. I've got to do it faster. I've got to do it better. Maybe I'm not taking care of them well enough. So go outside and breathe and remember that Jesus is so happy that you've said yes. And the girls would come back and tell me yes. So then in the workshops and on television, I gave people permission to do this. I even did something really radical. You want to know what that was?
Do I want to know that?
Well, it involves the internet. It took me 2 hours to download 6 minutes of you playing the piano, playing Jesus Loves Me from your website. And I downloaded it, put it on my laptop. And then during the TV program, we used that. I said, just close your eyes right now, wherever you are on the TV, and listen to this song, because this is what you need for your soul. And they listened. And it was beautiful.
By the way, I'll send you a CD back so you don't have to download. Okay.
Thank you. That would make it easier.
I'll send you several of them. So I don't want you to have to download anymore.
Tell you. It was
Well,
now, it was
are
powerful.
The Tongan people, Ali, by and large, a very expressive people, emotionally expressive?
Yes. Yes, we do. In a different way, like in our dancing, and so that's the way, not very verbally, but in a different way that we express our
There are certain prescribed ways you can express emotion. Joy, you dance a lot at certain festivals. Sadness, you cry a lot at certain other times. And when you give a speech, you're expected to get quite choked up. So they have prescribed ways, but they are very emotional people, but don't always have an outlet other than these prescribed opportunities to let it out.
Like here in the South, you know, we'll talk to everybody on the street, except the people that move here from the North. But we won't talk about that, John, will we? But Is that common in Tonga? What you go up, just talk to people and.
Yes.
And just, I mean, people.
Especially if you're related to them and related to the village.
Now, what if I went there as an American, would I be an oddity? Would they engage with me? I mean, I'm an oddity anywhere.
Oh, Peter, let's use a different example here.
If John wanted
to. I think an important skill in Tonga is watching what people do and do what they do. So if they're very gregarious and they're talking a lot, you can do that. But I've often told people who come to Tonga, keep your eyes and ears open and your mouth shut for at least the first half hour to kind of get a feeling for the place. But after that, they would love you. They would love you because you are gregarious. They would love you because you're easy. Yeah, you laugh easily. Well, they would love you because you don't take yourself too seriously.
When I go to Ghana, they think I'm Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the hair, everything else. Like, Mr. Clinton, you come with us. I said, y'all bring the car around. We got to go. And, you know, and they do. They really think I'm Bill Clinton over there. And so I didn't, you know, but and they look at me and the people of Ghana just laugh at me. I mean, and why wouldn't they, John?
I mean,
yeah, I heard him saying that better.
But they do, but they also know that I genuinely enjoy hanging out with them. Now, when Gracie goes to Ghana and she wears her artificial limbs uncovered, so she's wearing either a skirt or something like that, but she wears her legs uncovered. It's an amazing conversation starter. Now, they stare unabashedly at her, but she enjoys that because it gives her an opportunity to talk with them. Mm-hmm. What would somebody, a woman with a disability like Gracie's, expect when she goes to Tonga? Would she be engaged in conversation, or would there be a little bit of distance? Or,
well, I think people would be surprised to see. Normally, a person like your wife, Grace, will be staying at home most of the time.
Embarrassed to go out.
They would be embarrassed to go out.
Yeah, and also I think it's with a disabled like that, people look at it that they have to spend most of their time at home, not outside of their house. So
it would be a real anomaly to see her walking down the street.
It would be, but it would be a real encouragement. It would be a real encouragement.
Other people as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we're starting to work some more with people with Down syndrome, and many of them are absolutely loved and well cared for at home, but it's unusual for them to be engaged in everyday activities. But I have a friend who has a 19-year-old with Down syndrome, and just the fact that she's engaged in everyday activities and that the family themselves can not only care for her but teach her has really begun to spark people in Tonga that more is possible than what we're doing. And it's possible for me to do it. See, this is the thing with caregivers, too. We've been helping them to realize they can do this because there isn't anybody else. There's not a government that's doing it. There's not private homes and agencies that are doing it.
It's just the
we
family.
Can empower the family to do it. And they get so encouraged when they realize I can, instead of maybe I might be able to. They realize they can. So someone like Gracie would give not only the person with the disability, but also the family members encouragement that more is possible and that they can, there's resources to help them know how to do more.
Yeah. October was National Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And I had a friend of mine whose son is 39 years old, has Down syndrome, and he helped me co-host the show. And he had a ball doing it. And it was just a lot of fun. And, in fact, that was actually one of the most enjoyable shows I think I've ever had. Aaron was just so much fun. And I think he said it was been a lifelong dream of his to host a radio show. So we let him do it.
Yeah, well, he did a better job than I did. So.
thank you that you didn't say he did a better job than me.
Oh, I was being nice for once. Come on now. No, but it was a really great show.
And I think it's important. You know, the times are changing. I mean, you know, we're in a much different world that we don't close off people anymore. And I think it's great to get them out. And I think that would be, you know, I can tell you, Gracie would love that opportunity.
We'd love to host you there.
You're welcome to come to Tonga.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to figure out how I'd get her over
there. They are called the Friendly Islands. Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't have to worry about getting her off the plane, Peter.
I'm just worried about getting to the airport, getting her on the plane, and making the, three-day flight over there.
Well, from L.A., you better expect another 13 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, but it depends if you fly Air New Zealand. Oh, this is an ad for Air New Zealand. They have the best food and the nicest entertainment and the best attendance. Yeah. But when you get to the airport in Tonga, you don't have to worry about it. We have no ramp. You have to climb down the stairs. But we have a lot of big strapping guys. It's too bad it's radio. You can't see my husband and his massive muscles.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's Mr.
There's
Universe
more guys like him who will actually climb up the stairs. And they would carry her down.
Well, I think Gracie would probably get used to being in one of those big chairs with the guys carrying it on their shoulders.
Yeah, they could do that.
It's called a palanquin.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, she's got that Cleopatra kind of thing rocking, man.
And, I'm hearing this. You say you're welcome to come to Tonga. I'm on that plane.
Come on down, John. Yeah.
They would love John.
Oh, yeah.
All 6'7" of you.
And we do have a little radio station, and they would, honestly, they would be so blessed to have you come and teach them a few things. They'd love it.
Well, listen, we're talking with my dear friend Lynn and her husband Ollie and her son Finyani, and from the Kingdom of Tonga. And we're talking about the journey of their life as caregivers personally and also helping the nation of Tonga deal with this issue for their own families. And we're glad you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. If you want to see more about what we're doing, we talked about my book. It's out there. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. And it's on Facebook, Hope for the Caregiver, as well as Twitter. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on 2 artificial legs, and I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs, and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison. To reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. And Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Peter.
We're glad. This is such a treat to have my dear friends Lynn and Ollie here from the Kingdom of Tonga, and we're going to get back to them in just a second. I want to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing with Standing with Hope, because this time of year, a lot of people are looking for something to get involved with, and this Standing with Hope is the presenting sponsor of this show. And we have 2 ministry functions that we do. One is the prosthetic limb outreach, and we recycle prosthetic limbs. So when you're hanging the stockings by the chimney with care, you know, put a leg in it. And I'm sorry, John.
I can't work with you, man.
this is why we can't have nice things. And we collect used prosthetic limbs from all over the country, and we recycle all the usable parts. So this was the vision of my wife, Gracie, when she lost both of her legs as a result of this horrible car accident she had 34 years ago. And she wanted to be able to put prosthetic limbs on her fellow amputees and use it as a way to share the gospel. I mean, it's an astounding ministry. And we've been doing it for 12 years in the country of Ghana in West Africa. And we'll take a used limb that comes in, and it goes to a local prison run by Core Civic. And inmates volunteer to disassemble the limb for us. And they'll all the way down to the screw level. And anything that can be recycled, now not all of it can be, but anything that can be, the feet, the pylon, the knees, the sockets, the adapters, all those things, we'll send over to Africa, and along with purchased items that we'll do. And then we train and equip local workers to build limbs for their own people. And it's truly the gift that keeps on walking. If you give a leg to somebody, he's going to be able to walk. If you teach somebody how to make limbs, hundreds are going to walk. And if you do both while sharing the gospel, then they're standing with hope, and that's what it's about. And the other ministry we have is this program area with the caregivers of what we're trying to do. So we're ministering to the wounded and those who care for them. And CoreCivic is a big part of that, helping us with this faith-based program that, like many that they have, where inmates get to do this and participate with this. So we're very grateful for them. CoreCivic.com if you want to see more about that. Listen, we got to wrap up with Lynn for just a few more minutes here. And I just wanted you to tell me what you were telling at the break there about what the core message is that's going out from the Kingdom of Tonga to these families so that teaches them how to better care for themselves on it and what the message is they're saying to them.
People in Tonga, as we said earlier, really love their family members who are either disabled or elderly, but they're burning themselves out, and we're trying to help people realize that you have nothing to give if you're not taking care of yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself by getting a break, getting exercise, getting laughter, getting filled up by the Lord, you're going to be cranky, angry, and exhausted. And then you can't really love well like Jesus wants us to love. So we're helping people to know that you'll have nothing to give if you don't care for yourself. And it's not selfish to view life that way. In fact, you'll be a much better caregiver if you look after yourself.
Well, indeed. Well said.
Give her a radio show.
I could advertise your show.
Heck, she's doing my show on television.
I'm telling you.
She's a TV star. Well, Ollie, we got just a minute left here. What are your last thoughts as you go back to home? You guys are going back when? January, February?
January.
Sometime in January.
Yeah, get out of the winter here and go to the South Pacific. I think a lot of us would like to do
that. I'm telling you.
As you look to see your own parents aging, your mother now has vision issues, you're incorporating these things in your life, and how has this changed your life with it?
I believe that what we have learned through your book and also with Lynn teaching our people, looking at my parents, especially my dad. He's doing all the care for my mom. So we support my dad to encourage him in a way that he will have a time for himself as well, so good. That he can take a break from looking after my mom. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, listen, we are the clock is running down, and we're going to have to step out. And it's Christmas. And Merry Christmas to you, Lynn. This is a great Christmas present you've given me.
Thank you.
I love your family.
Thank you.
And your father and I spent many, many, many hours together as two weary caregivers. Fujani, you got to do something for me. You got to say, go to standingwithhope.com for more information.
Go to standingwithhope.com.
That's it. Fujani, all the way from Tonga. Lynn, yeah. Ollie, John.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Masi fia fia.
Malo au pito.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry
we'll see
Christmas.
You next week.